East Java, and West Java. Indonesia Ministers of Higher Education, Science and Technology, Brian Yuliarto, has vowed to bolster the downstreaming of the palm oil industry through research and higher education. He said that palm oil is a highly strategic commodity, but its downstream development has not been completed yet. We will use this as a pilot project and ensure its realization. Remarked here on Friday. That was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Music, dance, art performances from Indonesia and abroad, only on The Session. Every Saturday, 9:15 Jakarta time, only on Voice of Indonesia.
Tati, mau bilang apa sama Ludi?
The best husband ever, disuruh milih pun.
RRI Digital with New Look.
Programa en español.
RRI Digital. Available on Google Store and App Store. RRI Digital. at RA Digital with New Look. Various collaborative content from various national programs, including live visual broadcasts, live radio broadcasts, music playlists, podcasts, video news, and various users' interaction features in the game. Various interesting content such as likes, comments, and shares, as well as live chat with broadcasters and users. Direct messaging and private chat facilities between app users are also available. RRE Digital, available on Google Store and App Store. RRE Digital.
Berlari ke sana kemari sambil tertawa riang. Kedua tangannya diayun kiri kanan. Hari ini bahagia terbias di wajahnya. Kita buat hari ini penuh riang, berkumpul bersama teman dan bersenang-senang.
La 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 la.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republik Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Good afternoon and welcome to Afternoon VOI Talk from Voice of Indonesia. Today's session carries a deep meaningful theme called Be Inspiring to Save Human Life. In commemoration of World Blood Donor Day, we'll be exploring the incredible impact of voluntarily blood donation and the inspiring efforts behind it. Joining us is Yudinia Venkanteswari, chairperson of Blood for Life ID, a community that plays a vital role in connecting donors and saving lives across Indonesia. I'm your host, Yunika, and this is Afternoon VOI Talk. Good afternoon, Bu Yudinia. How are you?
Good afternoon, my Yunika. I'm great, thank you, and how are you?
I'm great, thank you. Let's just jump right into the questions.
Sure.
What is the meaning of World Blood Donor Day?
So, okay, thank you for asking, because tomorrow we will celebrate the World Blood Donor Day. So basically, actually, it was appreciation day for the blood donors who already gave the blood to others by blood donation, of course. So there we are appreciating the donors as a safe lifesaver, because they are helping others with their blood.
So it's a celebration for humans that are helping other humans.
Yes, correct. So basically, originating that's a birthday of a Landsteiner, Karl Landsteiner. It's who invented the ABO blood donor type, and we celebrate his birthday with appreciation for the blood donor.
Oh, wow, that is so interesting. Okay, and there are, you know, sometimes people become donors just to chase a charter or some sort of awards, or, yeah, some type of a reward, I think. And what do you think about this?
Sometimes, yes, I think it's a motivation, right? So recognition can be the initial motivation. However, especially for the first timer, so for the first timer, a token of appreciation, of course, is like a motivation for them. However, it's just a beginning. Sometimes after that, they will willingly donate their blood, even though there's nothing they can get back from it. So a single donation can save up to 3 lives. So it's okay if in the beginning they are chasing for something, but afterwards they will have a willingness to do that.
Yes, because personally I think no matter what the motives or reason, as long as they're helping people, because one donor can help up to three people, yes? And I think that nowadays, especially around Gen Z, because I am a Gen Z myself, sometimes when we're doing things, we upload it to social media. But just as you said, that's a great motivation. So yeah, it could be a starter. I want to know, Bu, what inspired you personally to get involved in the blood donor movement?
So, okay, originally, it's because I cannot donate my own blood, actually. So, here's the story. At that time, my nephew needs a blood donation because he have a Kawasaki disease. It was when he was 5 years old, and he did a blood transfusion. However, at that time, it's very difficult to get the blood, and I think that, okay, maybe I can donate. Oh, my blood type is different. However, I'm not healthy enough to donate my own blood. But there's other way, of course. By joining the movement, the Blood for Life Indonesia, as a community, here we can connect as a person. We can connect the patient who needs the blood and a person who are willingly to donate their blood for voluntarily. So that's the connection between me and Blood for Life Indonesia. At the time, I found this very good community, and I'm interested in helping as a volunteer. So that's the story.
That is a great story. So the beginning of how you join this community is because of your cousins. Yes,
nephews.
Yeah. Nephew, and because you cannot donor your own blood, then you get involved with this community. And it's very interesting to know that Indonesia have this powerful, I would say, community, because you connect people who need help and are willing to help. That is so, so great. And we need more communities like this, I think. And yeah, I want to know, for the VOI listeners or viewers that are currently listening to this, what are the benefits of blood donation?
Okay, there are benefits both for the receiver and also the donor. First, about the recipient, of course, yeah. Yeah, there's one thing, survival. They need blood because they can be died if they don't have the donor. But so blood saves emergency surgeries, for example, or cancer treatment, or childbirth, or other surgeries. And also, since I mentioned before that one unit of blood can be split into three, it's red cells, plasma, and platelets. So we can help other three patients. And also, that's for the patient itself. However, as a donor, we also have an advantage. The advantage is we have mini health checkup for our health, because we check our blood pressure, we check our hemoglobin rates, and also we also check by other type of disease that can, if we cannot pass the test, then we are informed by BMI or other blood donation units. So we can improve our health, so we can donate our blood regularly. So usually we can donate our blood once every 2 months.
Okay, so it's both beneficial for the receiver and also the recipient. That's
very good
to hear. Okay. And I want to know, because I'm interested talking to you, I want to know the ways. How do I join this blood donor community? And are there any requirements? And where are they from? And what are the activities of the community? Besides maybe donating blood, do you guys have other activities?
Yes, we do. So basically for donating blood, maybe you know that we need to be healthy enough, we need to be 17 until 60 years old, and also there's a minimum requirement for the weight, but also basic medical screening. However, for joining the community, we don't have to do anything about the health. So with joining the Blood for Life Indonesia, you can be anyone. Our volunteers come from students, we have professionals, we have also retired persons. And we also, as you mentioned before, our activities not limited to donating our own blood, but also helping organize events like a blood donation events, and also sharing information online or connecting donors with hospitals. So how to join? You can contact Rich, our social media at Blood for Life ID. Or you can also open our website at bloodforlife.id.
Okay, so the VOI listeners and also viewers, if you are interested to join this community, this very powerful community, make sure to check out the social media Blood for Life ID and website bloodforlife.id. Okay, I want to know, Bu, so far, how many people are involved within the community? How many members that you got in this community?
I cannot say the number to be exact because we are spread in all over Indonesia, because in Jakarta we have a group, WhatsApp group, and we have around 40 person. So what I can say is in Jakarta itself we can have about 40 person in our community. However, in other cities we also have like chapter, we call it chapter. So instead of only chapter Jakarta, we have also, for example, chapter Manado, chapter in other cities in Indonesia. So in each chapter, they have their own activities. And also, for example, in Surabaya, they have like a charity event, something not only for the blood donation.
Okay, so the Jakarta chapter, Chapter Jakarta, you guys have 40 person, but because it's across Indonesia, you cannot name it exactly.
Yeah. I cannot say. I don't know exactly the number. So.
Yeah, I know. Okay. So I want to know, what is the theme of World Blood Donor Day 2025? And can you please tell us the meaning of the theme? And maybe as a follow-up questions, I would like to know, what is your message according to all of this blood donor topics and matter?
So first thing first, the theme of the year is give blood, give hope. Yeah, so it's a beautiful reminder that every time we donate blood, we are giving more than just a medical product, because the blood cannot be made in a factory. We only can produce blood in our healthy body. So we are giving hope, the hope for the life, recovery, healing, and second chances. This year, the campaign focused on raising awareness, for example, about the urgent need of the blood and the plasma. As you may know, in the blood, we have blood donation, we have whole blood, and also we have apheresis. Apheresis is only donating for the plasma or the platelet, so not the whole red blood cells. And also, we also encouraging the regular donations, not just once. You can try once, and please regularly donating your blood. It's a lifelong habit. And also for celebrating for compassion and solidarity of donors around the world. Because this is celebrated by WHO, not only in Indonesia, but also in other countries as well. And also, we are calling for the government and partners to keep investing in safe and reliable national blood system. Yeah, if talking about this, Indonesia have more than 250 million lives, and according to WHO, we will need about 2% stock, so we can call it's about 5.5 million blood bank per year. So that's what we are going to achieve. And this theme is not only a message, so it's a call to action. Each donor becomes a symbol of hope, so for someone they never meet. So we can donate the blood, we never meet the patient, but we are saving someone else's life. That's the message.
Wow, that is such a heartfelt message. It's, again, I want to maybe reply it and rewind it for the viewers and also listeners at home. The blood donation is really mattered because this is a call to action, Yabuya. It's a call to action to save other people's life, even though you don't know the person, even though you don't know them personally, but you can save life because give blood, give hope. Yes.
Yes. All right.
And that concludes our talk for today. A heartfelt thank you for Ibu Yudinia Venkanteswari for sharing such powerful insights and also very heartfelt advices and also inputs towards the viewers and also listeners. Thank you very much, Bu.
Thank you, Maibuka.
And may today's conversation encourage more of us to donate and step forward. Not just to donate, maybe, but to inspire others and also act with compassion and courage. Because remember, give blood, give hope. Every drop counts. And together we can help save lives. Until next time on Afternoon VOI Talk, I am Yunika. Stay kind, stay inspired, and stay healthy.
Kita Indonesia, sesungguhnya langit aspirasi bangsa. Kita Indonesia, sesungguhnya kita hadir bagi dunia. Kita Indonesia. Indonesia, sesungguhnya langit aspirasi bangsa. Kita Indonesia,
Indonesia.
Sesungguhnya,
sesungguhnya
kita lipatnya. Kita Indonesia, sesungguhnya langit aspirasi bangsa.
sesungguhnya.
Lah, kita lanjut ya. Kita jalanin dulu aja gimana?
Well, I'm still figuring out what's best for me.
Bukan ku tak tersipu, bukan ku tak butuh kata-kata, tapi ku meragu. Apakah langkah cinta ini berbeda? Meskipun telah sempurna, cintamu bagai mimpi yang nyata. Ku ingin hatiku bertekuk lutut tak berdaya.
Those who were victorious at the sea is the first millennium were the Indonesian people, the Malays, none of Chinese who sailed. It was only after South could no longer access the Silk Route by land that they looked for trade routes by sea. That was in the 11th or 12th century. Before that, no, there weren't Chinese who sailed. Aren't you afraid of 8 to 9 meter waves? He said that to me. I said that in Indonesia, I've never seen waves of 9 meters. I want to see it. And he immediately shook hands with me. That's it, sir. That's it.
Di Indonesia belum pernah saya lihat 9 meter. So aku pengen lihat. Langsung selamat saya, Pak. Jadi, oke. Dia bilang.
Kalau istilah PVC itu sepertinya muncul pada abad ke-19, sekitar tahun 1830-an.
Period around the 19th century in around 1830 to 40, and it refers to a type of sail that actually comes from Europe, which imitates the international term schooner catch or calf catch, which means a sail that is installed in the direction of the bow of the boat. It seems that these sails were first used in the western regions of the archipelago, such as Riau, Belitung, etc. Until the end of the 19th century, this type of sail was increasingly used towards the east. So the sail also arrived in Sulawesi, and here the sail was changed, which we know now as the Venice sail.
Jenis layar itu makin banyak digunakan, makin ke arah timur. Sehingga akhirnya ide layarnya itu juga tiba di Sulawesi. Dan di sini pun layarnya diubah sedemikian rupa sehingga menjadi yang kita sekarang mengenali sebagai layar penisi.
Indonesian people are challenged to become more resilient in facing life at sea. One of the communities that is able to run a shipping system and build ships is the Bulukumba community. However, the term Finisi became known in the 1950s.
Istilah Finisi itu secara umum baru muncul dalam cetakan, koran, dan sebagainya.
The term Finisi generally only appeared in printing like newspapers and so on in the early 50s of the 20th century. In 1960, the administration of the first Indonesian president Soekarno held a competition for boats to carry copra from Sulawesi to Jakarta. And in the newspaper, a question still arose about what Finisi boat is, because the term Finisi was not yet known to people at that time. Because in the fact, in the records of harbor master and so on, boats like that were still called palari. There was palari Solompong, there was palari Tongkong. The term Finisi started being known in the 80s, especially after the Finisi was brought to Vancouver. And there, the boats which were previously called palari were then called Finisi. So the term Finisi, which now we really take pride in, is actually a creation after the Finisi no longer existed.
Terutama setelah ada Finisi Nusantara yang dibawa ke Vancouver, dan di situ, di Singapura misalnya, perahu-perahu yang sebelumnya dinamakan Polari itu mulai dinamakan Finisi. Jadi, istilah Finisi yang sekarang ini begitu dibanggakan, sebenarnya sesuatu ciptaan setelah yang namanya Finisi itu sudah tidak ada lagi. Ini ingatan masyarakat tidak terlalu tepat. Ada cerita bahwa perahu yang seperti itu yang pertama kali dibangun di
People's memory are not very accurate, and there are stories that the first such boat in Ara was in 1900, but no one remembers who built it, for whom, and so on. And until World War II, in the Dutch newspaper and the harbor master reports and so on, all projects like they were recorded as palari. So the use of the word Finisi is something new, something that hasn't been around for too long, but with the motor and Indonesian sailing boats, all of that disappeared in the 70s. This is a memory that people are quite proud of when Finisi Nusantara was brought to Vancouver and more travel companies from abroad ordered boats like that. The term Finisi was brought back as a proud memory of boat builders and sailors from the archipelago. The use of the word Finisi to generalize all types of boats is actually a deflation of Indonesia's boat manufacturing wealth, because in Indonesia there are hundreds of types of boats and they all have their own names.
Istilah Finisi itu diangkat kembali sebagai suatu ingatan kebanggaan pembuat perahu dan pelayar dari Ponto Bahari itu. Penggunaan kata Finisi untuk memukul rata semua jenis perahu itu sebenarnya suatu suatu deflasi kekayaan pembuatan perahu Indonesia, karena di Indonesia ada ratusan jenis perahu yang semua punya nama tersendiri.
Finnissy became known worldwide since its first expedition to Vancouver, Canada in 1986, where one of the crew members is still sailing today. At that time, from the start, I remember it was in 85 when my team entered Kalangan. And then I said I wanted to come to Canada. I hadn't applied yet. Finally, after a long time, Mr. Felipe, a Frenchman who was watching us as a witness to who accepted the people, I said that you're going home, right? And at that time, many of others didn't come. I went first. So then he said, do you want to come to Canada? And I said, yes, sir. If you still need more people. Then he said, you're not afraid of waves 8 to 9 meters, he said. The same to me. Then I said, in Indonesia, I've never seen 9 meters wave. I wanted to see it. We immediately shook hands, so it was a deal. At that time, I was on the machine and also on the sail. There were also 4 people from Tanah Biru also come with me. I asked to this Navy man, how many meters are the waves? Oh, this is only 7 meters. How is the 10 meters one like? I said. Relying on 2 masts and 7 developed sails called Finnissy, the wind has been the main force for Indonesian sailors since the 12th century to sail to their destination. If we sail, we just play with the sails according to the wind. Maybe there will be a change in the wind for several hours, like here yesterday. Sailing without wind for 2 hours could take one day because of the wind. Well, if you use an engine, you can calculate the speed and at what time we will arrive. Well, if we just play with the sails, we cannot predict when we will arrive.
Kapal Finnissy di Bandung ini asalnya dari Arab, dulu kan Mbak, Sulawesi Selatan.
This Finnissy ship was built originally from Arab Ulukumba, South Sulawesi. Starting from the year before independence in 1945, after independence, it already existed before. From generation to generation, we have been able to make this ship without any finished drawings. It has been passed down from our ancestors until now. We do it without any technical knowledge. It is just based on experience and it is recognized throughout the world.
Dan di segi pengalaman saja, nah, diakui oleh seluruh dunia. Kalau dengan Finnissy-nya 1 tahun lebih.
With the Finnissy, it took more than a year, but this time we make it on the Losari Beach. It is the fastest one because in just 2 months and a half, has been like this with 2 units with 25 people working. Yes, iron wood, BT wood, and teak wood. It only needs 3 types of wood in terms of its strength. In the sea, you can make just any kinds of wood. I used to have Finnissy made from BT wood, but the scarcity of BT wood forced me to use it only for the ship purpose. Now I cannot do it anymore. The deck is made of teak wood.
Sekarang tidak bisa lagi karena sudah berkurang. Bisa untuk patah tulang. Deknya ini kayu jati. Alhamdulillah, papangnya disusulin. Satu-satu.
The shoots, the planks are arranged one by one. Then they go up here. After the body is finished, then the tusks are installed. Once the tusks are installed, the road is installed, the bottom is then the gutter, then the floor, then the room. The room has all the walls and partitions made. After this, it has been put on the hub. This is lowered, then the mast is made. The mast is then put on the hose rope. The mast rope, then the sail is put on. That's it.
Tali seling, tali tian, nampak belakang, baru pasang layarnya, begitu.
system and calculation for making Finnish sailing ships have been known to people of Ara village Bulukumba since 19th century. However, according to a research conducted by German historian Horst Lippner, only 12 Lemo-Lemo people knew the shipbuilding system. The system is named Tatatalu. That's the formula. So this is how we are ships experts, Wandi Talupi. The important thing is that we know the length, width, and height, that this is 6 meters, the length is 30 meters, the height is 3 meters. They keep installing it, and then it will be right when it hits 6 meters. Indeed, we already have experience in that aspect, without saying that it is balanced. It is already balanced because it is our technique, our experience, so that it is precise up to 6 meters without any writing about so many or so. Each one works, each one is an expert.
Ada satu hal dan itu intinya dari warisan dunianya itu, yaitu.
There is one thing that is essence of world heritage, namely what we can call a formula for making it. Many people say that boats are made without drawings and so on, and that is actually not true. There is a formula that is not made into a drawing, but made into various sizes which are recorded above the gorge. There are various bangli that are used with signs that determine the measurements, for example, the location of the pegs in the hull, the length of the planks, the location of the frame, and so on. Those who will still inherit this knowledge today are the descendants of the Lemo-Lemo people. It seems to have a formula called Tatatalu, which can produce boats up to 14 meter long. PLM boats, or whatever boats were called Finnisi in the 70s, were much bigger. So there is an impression that the Ara people at some point in 1930s to 1950s created a new manufacturing formula called Tata Apa, which could produce larger boats.
Jadi ada kesan bahwa orang Ara pada suatu saat tahun 1930-an sampai 50-an menciptakan satu rumus pembuatan yang baru yang dinamakan Tata Apa yang bisa menghasilkan perahu yang lebih besar. Membangun suatu perahu itu adalah suatu hal yang sangat-sangat rumit. Secara populer, perahu layar itu diakui sebagai
building a boat is very, very complicated things. Popularly, the sailboat is recognized as the most complicated human creation that has existed before the Industrial Revolution in the 18th century. This means that throughout human history, nothing more complicated has been built than a sailboat. If we compare the parts of number of objects in this boat, whatever there is, as far as I know, is 100 times more than a cell phone. And they all have to function the same as cell phone. If you install one small part wrongly, the cell phone won't work. It's the same as if boat is installed incorrectly. One small part of the boat will not sink. And there is another point there. Boat is not something rectangular, but it created through a curve. The curve must be harmonious. If the curve is crooked, the boat will not sail. Maybe someone remembers in high school we are taught how to calculate the curve F from X, which is the most complicated, right? Maybe those who have gone through it have all said, well, this is very difficult, but the boat can only function if the curve is harmonious. The curve can be calculated in that way. So the knowledge to create curves has been going on in the archipelago for 1,000 years. And the way of conceptualizing curves is not much different from shipwrecks from the 10th century to boats built in the mid-20th century. These things are very complicated, so they are not for public consumption because they are too complicated. But in order to deepen them and make them something to be proud of, things like that should be made more public, put forward more to the general public so that they are not reduced to only Finnisi.
Cara mengkonsepkan kurva-kurva itu tidak jauh berbeda dari kapal-kapal karam yang dari abad ke-10. pertengahan perahu-perahu yang dibangun pada pertengahan abad ke-20. Hal-hal itu amat-amat rumit. Sehingga bukan menjadi ini baru konsumsi halaya kerana, wah, memang terlalu rumit. Tetapi untuk apa ya? Memperdalamnya dan menjadikannya sesuatu yang bisa dibanggakan. Hal-hal seperti itu semestinya memang lebih diumumkan, lebih di kedepankan kepada khalayak ramai. Supaya itu tidak direduksi atas ini sih doang.
Empal gentong, a traditional dish from Cirebon that has been famous since the 17th century. It features a rich spice broth that is truly tempting. The word empal means beef, while gentong refers to the large pot used for cooking it. The beef is slowly cooked in a broth rich with spices such as turmeric, ginger, and lemongrass, creating a savory and slightly spicy flavor that delights the taste buds. Empal gentong not only offers tender meat, but also a culinary tradition passed down through generations, with each spoonful reminding us of the warmth and enjoyment of the past. Typically served with rice or lontong, this dish is often accompanied by sambal and crackers to enhance the experience. More than just a meal, empal gentong is an unforgettable taste experience. Enjoy its deliciousness and feel the authentic flavor of Cirebon.
Tiba-tiba aku jatuh cinta, diam-diam kau pun juga cinta. Kita berdua belum punya kekasih, saling mendekati. Perasaan tak bisa berdusta, bahagia terasa sempurna. Kita berdua belum punya kekasih, tunggu apa lagi? Katakan cinta bila kau cinta. Kekasihku saja, perasaan tak bisa berdusta, bahagia terasa sempurna. Kita berdua belum punya kekasih, tunggu apa lagi? Katakan cinta bila kau cinta. Cinta, katakan cinta. Hati ini meminta.
saja.
Voice of Indonesia.
Engkau yang terindah telah pergi menghilang, menyisakan semua kenanganmu. Aku tak beranjak menatap hidupmu, meski kau tak lagi bersamaku. Dan aku di sini menggenggam hatimu dan semua kenangan.
Voice of Indonesia with the news. Foreign Minister Sugiono on Thursday said that Indonesia is committed to ensuring fair and inclusive infrastructure development to support the poorest and most vulnerable communities. He then invited all global stakeholders to join Indonesia in building sustainable, fair, and inclusive infrastructure. The Indonesian government has provided a budget of 300 million rupiah for the free health checks program.